Is there anything else? Did the financial octopus suddenly have a single tentacle? Quote, I hope they all get cut off and don't grow back anymore. Otherwise, why would we be here talking about it? But there's another person who's reached this point and knows more. The other person is Arif Durrani, D-U-R-R-A-N-I, 41. Born in Pakistan, he moved to California in 1973. The owner of Merex, a war material firm, Durrani used to work for the United States government. Now he's prisoner number 09027-014, housed in Unit 2P of the Federal Correctional Institute in Danbury, Connecticut. He was urgently transferred there from the penitentiary in Sheridan, Oregon, where Michael Scott, one of Brennecke's two lawyers, sought to meet with him. On July 9th, Scott explains, I talked on the phone with Durrani for almost 2 hours. Before entering a plea in Brennecke's case, we aimed at what we would say during the trial. It was decided that I would get to know Durrani and pick up certain documents. We made an appointment for the 16th. On the 11th, I acquired a ticket for Portland from Denver, where I lived. On the 13th, the other lawyer in our case, Richard Miller, called me and said that they were suddenly transferring Durrani. Arrested October 3, 1986, for arms trafficking and sentenced to 10 years in prison and a $2 million fine, the Pakistani businessman has presented a demand for a retrial, which will be discussed in September. His 218-page appeal confronts the Tower Commission report, North's deposition, and the Colonel's diary, with a series of documents obtained from the Belgian Justice Ministry, including an inquiry by the Brussels gendarme into three companies implicated in the sale of war material, Casa Lay, Cosmic Trading, and Rheinmetall International. The story, like all the stories of the last 10 years, leads in an obliged direction, the arms traffic with Iran, of which Durrani has been one of the protagonists. The son of Colonel Bashari, B-A-S-H-A-R-I, the military supply director with the Pakistan Embassy in Washington, young Arif learned the art of dealing and appraising stocks of arms. For this, Tehran's new leaders entrusted him with controlling the material that was flowing through North. Interrupting, recall, as we looked at in an article by David McMichael, former CIA analyst, that is also carried in Radio Free America, in Covert Action Information Bulletin number 35, the Merex, founded by Arif Durrani, is actually connected to the Merex, which served as a BND and fascist front. That Merex, founded by Gerhard Mertens, used by Oliver North and Manzur El-Kassar in the Aria deal. Colonel Bashari, the father of Arif Durrani, was involved, according to McMichael, with the founding of the German Merex, the BND front, founded by Gerhard Mertens, Skorzeny collaborator, during World War II and afterward. Continuing with the article. Tied also by common Muslim beliefs, Durrani made solid friendships with such personages as Supply Director Rahim Malekzadeh, Revolutionary Guard Minister Rafik Dost, and Ministerial Assistants Moshin Razi and Moshin Kangarlu. They met when they were still students and became friends during long evenings in Middle Europe's cafes. In time, the relations he consolidated within this group made him one of the persons most valued by the Ayatollah's government. At that point, he was entrusted with the most sensitive of assignments, managing the money for the armaments purchases. The operations, Durrani explains, developed this way. I would draw the sum of money in Deutschmarks from the Cedrot Bank and deposit it in Credit Suisse. Then I'd analyze the arms, make sure that they were the quality and number of pieces agreed upon, and release the payment in dollars. Durrani recalls that, after he refused to guarantee a defective consignment, North's men took revenge on him by setting a trap. Quote, I was told that they had difficulty finding 240 spare parts for their Hawk missiles, already paid for by the Iranians, and I was asked to find them as soon as possible. The fate of the hostages in Beirut depended on my speed. But when, as agreed, I went to radio research in Danbury to conclude the matter, I found myself in front of Stephen Arruda, A-R-R-U-D-A, of Customs, who arrested me for the illegal trafficking of arms. Richard Brennecke alleges that you know all about the financial network that supported Amitalia. Is that true? Now recall once again, Amitalia, the CIA financing link to the P2, the vehicle for CIA financing P2. Beginning again. Richard Brennecke alleges that you also know all about the financial network that supported Amitalia. Is that true? Quote, the thing I can confirm at this moment is that Amitalia was replaced by North's group, the Enterprise, which monopolized all the exchanges with Iran. direct your attention to Lake Resources and the firm that controlled it, CSF, in Geneva. You'll find that they were not only occupied with Iran, but with other countries as well. The arms left Portugal, Belgium, and Spain, but in the background always appeared the shadow of the CIA. The important point here, and we will be taking this up again next week due to limitations of time, is that Amitalia, as we looked at before, was replaced, according to Durrani, by North's group, the Enterprise, Amitalia, the CIA funding link for, P2, and all of the activities that we have been looking at this evening. I'm going to take a very short musical break and come back with the last brief article for the prepared portion of tonight's program. Well, good evening. Welcome back once again to One Step Beyond. During the phone-in session of last week's broadcast, a listener alluded to a KPFA evening news broadcast. KPFA, by the way, for the benefit of people who hear this on tape, is the Pacifica station in Berkeley, California. And this alluded to a map of a bombing found on the New York City subway system. A listener had taped that and sent me not only the tape, but a transcript of it. I'm going to share that with you briefly as another link between this week's broadcast and next week's. New York City Police, now this, by the way, is a transcript of an item on the KPFA Evening News of December 27th of 1990. Map on bombing found on subway. New York City Police and the Joint Terrorist Task Force are investigating what they suspect could be a plot to blow up seven sites along the Brooklyn waterfront on New Year's Eve. Police spokesman Lieutenant Ray O'Donnell says that on Christmas Eve, a subway rider found a suspicious map and turned it over to transit police. O'Donnell said that negotiations on the map were written in English and indicated that bombs would go off at seven Brooklyn waterfront industrial sites. He said that one of the several sites searched today by the bomb squad and the task force was the Con Edison complex that houses massive gas tanks. Another was the Brooklyn Navy Yard, the Brooklyn Army Terminal, and a warehouse along First Avenue near the piers. CBS News reported today that a source told them there were notations on the map in Arabic. The source said the notations named what it called an Iraqi terrorist group. He said the sites were being targeted for bombing on New Year's Eve and that the name of Iraqi President Saddam Hussein was also mentioned. Police would not confirm or deny an Iraqi connection. Well, there are a number of things that are interesting and scary about this. Now, recall that Oliver North, the individual whose enterprise replaced the Amitalia P2, the CIA link to P2, according to the article we looked at, Oliver North, of course, and his people were involved with drawing up the Rex 84 martial law contingency plans, which came to light during the Iran-Contra investigation. And that martial law contingency plan would have instituted martial law in the event of several things, including massive protests to a U.S. military adventure abroad and or a terrorist incident in the United States, or perhaps even elsewhere. It's worth noting that I have been afraid of a provocation. I'm not saying that that's absolutely going to happen, but I have been very afraid of a provocation. This story is not only ominous, but it's frankly very fishy. Terrorists don't generally announce when they're going to do something. They operate secretly. And the notations named an Iraqi terrorist group, that President Saddam Hussein was mentioned. Terrorists don't generally operate with this fundamental, almost compulsive lack of security. Agents provocateurs, on the other hand, do exactly this. It's worth noting that in the late Mae Russell's landmark research on the Symbionese Liberation Army, much of that is in Radio Free America 23 in the archives for those who would like to pursue it. There was not only a foreshadowing of the Patty Hearst kidnapping by the SLA, which was basically a CIA agent provocateur operation. There was a book called Black Abductor, which described an allegedly fictional book. Of course, it came true. It described the kidnapping of an heiress, a wealthy heiress, by terrorists. And I wonder whether we're seeing something like this in this context. Certainly, terrorist groups do not reveal themselves. If they have plans to do something, they're not going to reveal who the group is, and they're certainly not going to mention Saddam Hussein. As I said, agents provocateurs do this, and the SLA left all sorts of preposterous clues around, which basically disclosed exactly who they were and where they'd been and where they were going. One of the points that May makes is that the behavior of the SLA was at 180 degrees variance with the usual guerrilla and terrorist methodology. This same listener researched the following article for us, which she in turn had relayed on a previous broadcast. This from the San Francisco Examiner of Wednesday, February 14th of 1990. In Marilyn Beck's Hollywood, we find the following, Bart Express. The Michael Fox, James Woods, The Hard Way, no, it goes down in the article. Universal, that's Universal Pictures, is already targeting Hard Way, quote-unquote, for year-end release. And the Badham Cohen Group production company is targeting Express, quote-unquote, for an early 1991 start. Express is a thriller about a terrorist who takes San Francisco's BART system hostage and the cop who saves the day. Sounds like it could be a case for Clint Eastwood. I wonder, and again, this is not a statement I'm making, but a question I'm asking, I wonder if we're looking at a foreshadowing of a possible provocation. And as I've said in the past, I think that not only our involvement in the Middle East, whether or not it results in war, represents a diversion on the part of George Bush from our serious domestic problems, and I suspect an impending a serious financial crisis. This past week, the Bank of New England, by the way, this is January 6th of 1991, the Bank of New England is reported on the brink of failure. The governor of Rhode Island has basically closed all of Rhode Island's financial institutions, and the sorry legacy of Reaganomics is very much with us, and I suspect that whether it's terrorism or the war on drugs, both of which we will talk about next week, we are basically facing the prospect of a domestic gladio, of a domestic martial law operation and possibly provocation program. And I think that there is a high degree, and there is evidence there's a high degree of continuity between Oliver North, his enterprise, the P2, Gladio, and last but most assuredly not least, the Odessa and the Galen mentors with whom Ollie North and company have collaborated. We call the Marex connection, the connection that we've looked at. And bear in mind the connection between Otto von Bolschwing and Helena von Damm. Von Bolschwing, a key SS man and a Galen collaborator, an individual who is very close to Helena von Damm, the woman who selected all of the people from whom Reagan's cabinet appointees were made, both when he was governor of California and president of the United States. We will come back to these two articles as we move from the events of Italy and Gladio to the events of the United States and what I feel is the domestic Gladio, Rex 84, the related contingency plans, and things that we will be looking at next week.